just a little bit, but I encourage you to listen to the message on the app so you can see where we're going with this, okay? And it all has to do with prayer. And for the next few Sunday nights, actually next week is July 4th weekend, so there'll not be a Sunday night, but then after that, we're going to continue prayer through the summer because we need to become prayer warriors, amen? It needs to be a priority in our life, like we talked about last week. And the more you hear it, faith comes that you can do it. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to just review a little bit. Last week, I want to look at Genesis 28, verses 10 through 17. And we're going to look at Jacob for a moment. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at Jacob, and we're going to read, let me read this portion of scripture. It says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." And I'm going to stop here for a second because I shared this a couple of weeks ago. When I first got saved, I was always spending time in prayer. I don't remember a specific message or anything like that, but I just wanted to be with Jesus, and I wanted my family saved, so I was always praying. And I remember, I never read this scripture. I was just a baby Christian, but I had this vision. And I couldn't believe when I saw it in the Bible. It just blew me away. But when I was always praying for people, and I saw a vision of a ladder, and I saw if I was praying for Maria over here, the angel was taking Maria up the ladder into heaven. And while I was praying, she was before the throne, I'd be done with her and she'd come down, and then maybe I was praying for my mom, and then I saw my mom, I was bringing my mom up the ladder to heaven, and I remember it so distinctively, and when I saw this picture, when I saw the scripture, it just, I was like, oh my gosh, that's in the Bible, you know, and I remember sharing that with so many people. That didn't, because we were all getting saved. A lot of us didn't know the Bible. Nobody even knew it was in the Bible. But here it says, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. Say ladder. And there, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants." Also, he was given Jacob promises. "Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you." This is God talking to Jacob. He's up on the ladder. He's got this vision, right? And the angels, remember, they're descending, but God's speaking to him. "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." And then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." How many times have you been in the place of prayer where you've said, "Surely, God, you are here in this place. You are here in my bedroom. You are here in my living room. You are here. Surely you are here in my car." He said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." And he said, "And I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now, I didn't talk about the gate of heaven, but is there a ladder coming out of your house? Is there a gate of heaven? Hello. Above your house. Amen? And we talked a lot about prayer a few weeks ago. And so he saw the angels descending on that ladder and going back up, ascending, descending, taking up prayers, and bringing down miracles. Prayer was Jacob's ladder. And I just keep saying this. Do you have And you just relate that ladder to heaven and the angels. Do you have a ladder where the angels are going up and down, where they're bringing your kids into heaven, where they're bringing your spouse, your situation, your financial situation? You know, we have a ladder to the bank. We have a ladder to the hospital. We have a ladder to all these other places that where we go for help. We need to have a ladder to heaven. Amen? We need to have a ladder over our family. We need to have an entry point in our home where the angelic forces are going in and out, amen? And having the gate of heaven open of our house. If we do not pray, if you are not in a place of prayer, and these messages are not to beat you up or condemn you. God is a God of love. He's trying to help you get your prayers answered. He's trying to help you get into your destiny and into the plan for his life. But if you don't pray, you do not have a ladder between earth and heaven. God will not come unless you call him to come. And I think a lot of people, you know, they get deceived over that. But God comes when we pray in the name of Jesus. There's so many instructions in the Word concerning prayer. God wants to be invited. Those angels want to go up in the ladder. They want to go through your roof. They don't need an open roof. They'll just come right through the roof. Amen? Hallelujah. We talked about making prayer our priority, not just a flash in the night, not just we become casual about by prayer. Oh, I'm just going to pray real quick on the way to work. I'm going to pray here and there. No, we need to make prayer a priority because prayer is talking to God. Amen? It shouldn't be just a flash in the night. And we talked about the importance of meeting God a certain time each day. Since I ministered on this, I was reading about some of the old men of God, and it seemed they always had like a 3 a.m. prayer hour. I'm not telling you to get up at 3 a.m. I do not pray at 3 a.m. But it seemed like a lot of those men, I don't know, maybe because of electricity, I don't know, but when you read about the men of old, it always seemed they were on that 3 a.m. prayer hour. I'll tell you what, nothing should disturb you at 3 a.m., right? Hallelujah. The importance, the priority of prayer, making it the most important thing in your life, having a place where you meet God daily. Remember we talked about Jesus talked about going into the closet, amen? You know, to pray, finding that secret place and praying every day. You know, this is something about meeting God every day. You know, when you go to school, you go to the same place every day. When you go to work, you go to the same place every day. When you're meeting people, doing things, why not meet God at a certain place every day? Amen? We talked about John Wesley's mom, you know, eight kids, and every day in the middle of the day, she'd put her apron over her head for an hour and pray, and nobody bothered her. They knew she was praying. That was her place of prayer. Amen? They lived in like a two-room house or something like that. Hallelujah. So anyhow, if you want to hear more about that, that was ministered 2 weeks ago. It is on our app. It's the first week of the Ladder of Prayer. It would be good for you to go and refresh yourself. Amen? This week, I want to go on to something a little bit different. You know, our goal, we want to see our prayers answered. God didn't tell us to pray so that we can beg and plead and never see a result. God wants to answer our prayer. There's so many promises in the Word that he promises. He said, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There's just so many ways that we can get our prayers answered, but so many people are not getting their prayers answered. You know, if they get one prayer answered in 5 years, they're jumping and shouting for joy, which is exciting, but God wants it to be an everyday occurrence. Amen? But sometimes, you know, we're not getting our prayers answered because we have to get the right instructions and the right rules, and we think, well, God is just whatever. But he's not. There are rules. There are laws. There are principles in the Bible. Amen? And sometimes you need something, you need an area that you have to work on. Well, how many of you have toolboxes at your house? I don't know about you guys, but I remember growing up, and every time my dad wanted to buy a tool or something, my mom just thought, why do we need tools? Why do you need so many tools? You got a small toolbox, and you got a big toolbox, and you got 50 screwdrivers, and why do you need... It was just one of those things I remember happening at our house. And of course, our dad, whenever something needed to be fixed around the house, he had the tools to fix it, right? And you don't always need every tool, but it depends on what you're working on. And the point of tools and the point of a toolbox is that when you need them, you have them. Amen? Somebody might say, well, I don't need a toolbox, I don't need tools. The problem is, you may not need a tool right now, but when the event rises, when you have a leak in your sink, when you have something going on in your house that needs to be fixed, you need some tools, right? Some of you ladies get that, I know the guys get that. Amen? I don't know how to use tools very much, but I know how to call my husband, and he knows how to use the tools. Hallelujah. All I just go is, honey, what? He knows it's like, you know, something that needs to be fixed. No. So anyhow, here's a new, brand new toolbox here. And I'm telling you, I don't know what you're working on in prayer, but we need to have the right tools. And if I open this toolbox right here, and a lot of times we have a bumper sticker on a car, we have a Bible, we have, you know, just a lot of different types of things. Well, God has given us tools to have a successful prayer life. Not a prayer life where we're always trying to, oh, you know, God wants to see us results. Yes, he loves when we worship him. Yes, he loves when we spend time with him, but he wants us to see results. He wants us to see results. And we're going to see tonight there are many different types of prayer. There's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of agreement. There's many different types of prayer. And if you, these are different types of tools. And if I need a screwdriver, my husband says to me, hey, honey, could you run to the toolbox and get me a screwdriver? And I go, sure, just a minute. Okay, honey, here. Is that a screwdriver? Absolutely not. Gee, honey, could you get me a hammer? Here, honey. That's not a hammer, is it? And a lot of times we're using the wrong type of tools for the wrong type of prayers. There are rules, there are laws, there are things that we need to learn in the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Amen? And we have to learn the tools of the trade. When we're praying, a lot of times we just want to get through the prayer. Oh, this is just gives me 5 minutes, okay? And it makes us feel good because we just did some kind of duty. But what's really powerful is if you can take a tool and he says, honey, bring me the screwdriver, and you bring the screwdriver, and actually the answer comes. It's fixed. It's fixed. And so we want to learn to do that. As we're learning to pray, and that's what I'm going to endeavor to do on Sunday nights. And I can see myself just going through the summer, just teaching on prayer, just teaching on the different types of prayer, teaching on how to pray. I even, you know, we have a prayer that we're going to help you to learn how to pray for an hour a day. And you say, oh, an hour, I don't even pray 10 minutes. Well, get started with 10 minutes. Amen. Get started with, but let it be a quality 10 minutes. Amen? And so God just doesn't want you to have a bumper sticker or a giving statement or a Bible. He wants you to know how to use it. Amen? There's many people, when they have a symptom in their body, when they have sickness, or they don't even know, they don't know the tools to use. They don't know where to go. They don't know what they don't even know the will of God. Lots of people, even today, well, God caused this sickness. Lots of people don't know what's going on in the world today, but we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, amen? So we've got to learn the tools of the trade. We're going to deal with different types of prayer, And many people don't know this, but there is more than one type of prayer. And Christians fail in prayer so much because they pray the wrong prayer in the wrong situation. Amen? You see, there's two levels. There's two realms that we're looking at. There's the realm of the spirit, and then there's the realm in the natural. And for things to be done in the natural, they're going to have to be done in the spirit first. They have to be prayed through, and so you need to know how to pray through. Amen? Somebody's going to have to pray to get that done. So we have been given tools to damage Satan's kingdom, and Satan has a kingdom. You know, we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen? And God has given us tools to destroy the enemy's kingdom. Amen? The world, the church is the world's only hope. And the reason why is because the church can deal with Satan in the spirit. You can deal with Satan over your household. You can deal with the enemy in the spirit. You can stop those attacks. But a lot of times we just kind of put up with them and, oh, Satan's winning. No, he shouldn't be winning. Amen? John Wesley, a great man of God, made this statement. Now, this might get some of your attention. It might get some of your religious things going. I don't know, you know. But he said this. He says, it seems God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. So what if that's true? It is true. It is true that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. See, God is bound by his word. If his statement is correct, and it seems to be as we read through the Bible, then we who pray should know more about it. Why? Why is it that God is limited by our prayer life? Why is it that he can do nothing unless we ask them? If God wants to do something for humanity, he cannot do it unless somebody asks him. I noticed this week as I'm reading through my Bible, and I was reading in the Old Testament. And so many, you know, Moses, God was instructing Moses in so many different ways. And everything, it seemed like everything God told Moses, it seemed like Moses would confess and declare or pray it as it was being done. It was like he was saying what God was saying. He was carrying out what God was doing, but he was saying what God was saying. And every time something was done, he would thank God for that promise that he had said. Read through it's crazy. You read through the book of Numbers and Exodus. I said, God, you're looking for us to agree with you. You're looking for us to pray. And we're gonna see why. Amen. People say God has everything under control. He's running everything. Well, if he is, he sure has things in a mess, doesn't he? People are killing each other. Children are dying. Children are hungry. People are suffering. There's wars everywhere. You know, God is not up there playing chess with our lives. He's not saying, oh, you know, let's just see what Kathleen can do over here. Let's do this to her. Let's do this to Pastor Ed. No, he's not doing that. He is very clear with his instructions and his word. He has given us his word that is above his name. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if God, you know, is everything under control, is God running all of those wars? Is he not ruling on the earth? He's not. He is not ruling on the earth. Thank God he will one day, but he is not. But right now, his will is not being carried out on the earth except in the lives of those who surrender to him. You've surrendered to God by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and his will be carried out through you, through me, through our prayers, through our communication with God. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's easy to see in the Bible. The Bible says right here in 2 Peter 3:9, if you can put that up, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that every person, God's will is for every person to be saved. So it's obvious that his will concerning the salvation of all men is not being carried out, because all men are not saved. They're not saved yet. When individuals accept Jesus, God's will is carried out in their lives. But if God were running things and pushing his will off on people, which he doesn't do that because he gave man a free will, since he is not willing that any should perish, then he would make everybody get saved today and we'd all go into the millennium tomorrow if his will was being done. Because his will is not that any man should perish. And we can see that his will is not being established in the earth. Amen? But it can be established when we pray. That's how God, that's how it's set up. So let's look at why God can do nothing for humanity unless somebody asks him. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Let's start with verse 26. I'm hoping you catch this tonight, okay? Because I know I'm saying some things and you're thinking, no, God can do whatever he wants. No, it's not true. Read your Bible. That's why we have Bible school. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Say dominion. That means they were the boss. They were the boss of the earth. Adam and Eve were the boss of the earth. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That means the spiders, the black widow spiders, the gnats, the everything. Amen? I'm trying to say bad stuff. Over snakes, over the fishes, over everything. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him male and female, he created them. And then in Psalm 8:6, and he gave them dominion, and then here in Psalms 8, verse 6, it says, you have made him, talking about man, if you go back and read the preceding scriptures, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. God's plan was for Adam and man to have dominion and control this earth. God did not say to Adam, I'm going to dominate through you. He said, I give you dominion over all the works of my hands, over all the earth. Therefore, Adam had dominion on the earth and in this world. He was originally, in a sense, the God of this world. That's who Adam was. Now, don't get mad at Adam. You just need to forgive him, okay? You know? Because we don't know what we would have done in that place. We might have been hungry. That apple might have looked so good. How many times have you said, I'm not eating any of that today? That's the first thing you go after sometimes. And actually, Eve was deceived, but Adam knew what he was doing. But Satan came and he lied to Adam, and Adam committed high treason and he sold out to Satan. This is why we have to pray. I'm telling you, I'm explaining why we have to pray and have a relationship with God and be praying and taking dominion and praying according to the word of God. It said, then Satan became, when Adam committed high treason and sold out to Satan, then Satan became the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, now I have this in, if you can put this in the Amplified, I gave you a different version, but if you can pull it up in that, that would be great. And it's in verse 4, the Amplified Classic, AMPC. It says, for the God of this world, this is your Bible. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, for the God of this world, there is a God of this world, and his name is Satan. He's not God over you and I, because we've surrendered our life to Jesus, and he's given us power over the enemy. But he's the God of this world, and he's control over the unbelievers. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. Satan blinds the unbelievers. Satan prevents them from seeing the true light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you at one time did not see the light? You know, you were not born in family, especially here in New England. Most people were not born in a Christian, you know, that really had the light, you know? We were born in religious families, but we definitely were not born again. You know, if I go back and look at a picture of your life, we could see that you were not born again. If you looked at mine, you could see that I was not born again. You know, we didn't think anything of saying God's name in vain, did we? You know, or when we were lying, we didn't think of lying and saying we swear to God. Man has evil in his heart when he's born again, that's when things change. Isn't that true? So as such, Satan has dominion. Where does he have dominion now? Because he stole it from Adam. Adam sold out, really. He lied. Satan got dominion. And so Satan has dominion. Where he has dominion? In this world. He will have that dominion. He will be the god of this world until Adam's lease runs out. And God cannot legally and justly move in and take away that dominion from the devil. And therefore, the devil has dominion here. The devil's not going, God's not going to go in and use deception. God's not going to, he legally stole that. When you learn this stuff in Bible school, but he legally stole the dominion from Adam, and now Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of this world. He has dominion here. He has a legal right because he has Adam's leaf. And God cannot do anything unless somebody down here asks him. Why do you see it in the Word of God over and over? The subject of prayer is addressed. The subject of seeking God's face, seeking the kingdom first, praying in the name of Jesus. You know, Mark 11:23 and Mark 11:24, all of these prayers, the prayer of agreement. Why, if God could do anything he wanted, what is he doing playing a chess game and saying, well, I can do anything I want, but you guys have to pray? You know, you don't know if your child comes in the kitchen and maybe they're little babies and they can't communicate with you yet, but they're hungry. Hello, you have dominion. But somehow your child has to communicate that he's hungry. We have to communicate what we want to God the Father. We have to talk to him. So God cannot do. Let's look at Ephesians 6:18. So it's real important that you get into the place of prayer, that you make it a priority. Find a place. Get a special closet. Put a little desk in there. I mean, sometimes I see these, you know, homes and they build all of these, you know, like on Home and Garden Channel, just different channels that they, and they have all these beautiful walk-in closets, you know. Some of them, they just have a walk-in shoe closet. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I could put a little desk in there, put a little lamp, shut the door. How many of you remember The War Room, the movie, and how they had that little place, she had that little place, and she had all those stickums and those papers and those notes, and she was praying, and things happen. When people pray, God moves. He's not holding back. He said, ask and ye shall receive. I will move if people will pray. Amen? And God wants you to pray. Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always. This is a New King James Version, and then we'll get the Amplified up there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice he says all prayer. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's look at it in the Amplified. It says, pray at all times. Say all times. On every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. There are many ways to pray, and we have to learn to pray the right way. We cannot use the screwdriver if we need a hammer. I don't know what this is. What is this, a wrench? We cannot use a wrench unless we you know, or one of these. Hallelujah. Like I said, honey, glory to God. And we cannot be too busy not, I'm too busy to learn these tools, but I cannot be too busy not to learn the tools of the Word of God that God has given me to see prayers answered. Amen? And so it says here, with all manner of prayer. Notice it says praying with all prayer, all manner of prayer. Another translation reads praying with all kinds of prayer. The Goodspeed translation reads this, use every kind of prayer and entreaty, and at every opportunity, pray in the Spirit. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit. Because some things we don't know what to pray for. I may be praying over my children in a situation, and I need to hear from the Holy Spirit. I need Him to pray through me. So I'll pray what I know in the English, and then I'll pray in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, when you're committed to praying in the Spirit like that, you'll be surprised the answers that come and the prayers that come in the English, they just start coming out. And you're declaring and you're decreeing things and you're praying destiny over your family, over your church, over your city, over your nation. You know, I was praying one day and what was that? It was, and I came out of prayer and we were talking and we just heard a bad report on the news or something, you know, like, well, there goes the economy or something like that. And the Spirit of God got a hold of me and he said, do not agree with the bad news. Every time you hear it, you come against it with the word, with the good news. You come against it with the Word of God. This works in the kingdom of God. And like I said in the beginning, there's two realms. When we speak those things into the Spirit, they happen in the Spirit before we're going to see them in the natural. We cannot just sit around and accept what's coming our way. Amen? Hallelujah. So the Bible teaches several kinds of prayer. And it teaches the different rules governing them. And I'm not going to discuss each and every one in detail tonight, but I'm going to go over just go through them just a little bit and show you why it's important that we pray the right prayer. Amen? And they're not that difficult. They're not like, oh, my gosh, now I don't know if I'm praying this prayer and that prayer. And, oh, it's just like, you know, no, it's not like that. And if you stick with this prayer series, prayer will become where you'll understand it. There's nothing like going into prayer and understanding and knowing what you're praying for. Amen? You don't go to McDonald's if you want a taco. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. But the church world makes a mistake not differentiating between those different kinds of praying. We simply, we put all prayer in the same sack and we shake it all out together. And many prayers are not working because people are using the wrong rules and the wrong laws in their prayers. Amen. I remember hearing Norval Hayes, he's gone to be with the Lord, great man of God, great man of faith. And there was a young man, and I just listened to this message again recently, and I just caught this part of it recently after listening to it years ago. And he said he was having a meeting, and somebody in the church had gotten a car accident. And so they asked him to come and pray for this woman's husband. He was a young guy. Probably, I don't know, in his 20s or something like that, in his early 20s, and they had just gotten married. And so he went in there, and he went to pray, and he knows the word, you know, it's God's will to be healed, and he's praying healing over this, and over this young man, and the Spirit of God rose up in him, and he said, tell the wife, if Mark 11:23 will be obeyed, he'll walk out of this hospital room. If they'll obey Mark 11:23, Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith, they shall come to pass. But it has to be obeyed. And so he told her that, prayed, he left. About 6 months later, a year later, I can't remember when, he was in another place speaking. And this, after the message, this woman came up to him, and she brought her husband. And she said, here's my husband, he didn't even know who they were. Here's my husband, who is now the youth pastor of the church, completely healed. He was in a bad car accident, whatever it was. And the doctors had no hope he was going to die. He was completely healed. And he sat down and talked to her. And she said, I didn't eat, I didn't sleep. I just, thousands and thousands of times every single day, I walked that room and I obeyed Mark 11:23. And I said, oh yeah, that's what he told her to say, you shall live and not die. And she would say that to her husband over and over and over and over, you shall live and not die. But it was obeyed. So we have to obey these scriptures. We have to follow God's way. But sometimes because it doesn't seem right in our natural, it doesn't make sense. Well, it's not sense. Amen? It's God. It's not our sense. And there's many different types of prayer. Like, for instance, in the field of sports. I know that being in New England, even the woman likes sports. How many of you like sports in here? Raise your hand even if you don't like them, because you should like them. I love sports. Amen. I love Jesus more, but I love sports. And listen, before I got saved, I could tell you everybody's batting average, everybody's percentage. I could tell you the percentage of the basketball play. It was everything to me. And but I found Jesus. But in the field of sports, for instance, they have baseball, basketball, football, and tennis, so forth, hockey, all of these things. Wouldn't it be confusing to play a baseball game with football rules? You're sitting in the stands and they got the ball out there and somebody's saying, pass it, or touchdown when it's a home run. Wouldn't that be crazy? There's rules. Well, there's rules in the spirit. There's rules and laws of praying. There's tools which govern one kind of praying or another. Amen? And we have to apply them to our prayers. But instead of mixing up everything together, that would be crazy if the sports was, you know, everything was mixed up. Or if you saw somebody in the batting cage and I have a tennis racket. Exactly. Exactly. One common misconception people have is they think they should include every prayer with the words, if it be thy will. They claim that is how Jesus prayed. However Jesus prayed, this is, you know, this way, you know, listen, this Jesus only prayed, if it be thy will, one time, going to the cross. I don't have my physical Bible with me. Anybody got a physical Bible? There's one. Maria, run over there and get that Bible next to Pastor Ed right there. You never need to pray if it by, I shouldn't say never, there is a prayer consecration, there is a prayer if you're, you know, going to Africa, or if you, there's a prayer concerning, you know, we just have a couple that came from India, and I'm sure you had to pray if it be thy will in that situation. But most of God's will is right here in this book. And if you open it, he will talk to you. He will talk to you. His will on healing is in this book. His will on success is in this book. His will on prosperity, his will on salvation, his will on every soul. His will is in the book. And so many people, it's like a cliche, they pick it up. Well, you know, I'll see you tonight. Lord willing. It is Lord willing. Amen. And a lot of those areas, and so we need to get they claim, you know, they're praying after Jesus, but they're not, and they're not, you're not going to receive your answers that way. Amen. Because the Bible says, if you pray according to my will, I will hear you, trying to say it his way, and I will answer you. You gotta pray his will. And why would he say that if we couldn't figure out his will? Oh, I don't know God's will. Oh, I don't know. Did he make me sick so I can go in the hospital and witness to this person? God will use whatever happens to you for his glory, but he's not causing it. Amen? Hallelujah. Where am I? So many times when people, they attempt to pray the prayer of faith or the prayer petition to change things, and then they conclude it with, well, God, I need a house, but according to your will. No, God wants you to get specific. There are so many scriptures that talk about being specific. He wants to answer your prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. So their prayer, many people's prayers are hindered, and maybe you do this, but your prayer will always be hindered if you are always uncertain of his will. So you got to open up the toolbox and not just listen to every preacher that comes along, because this one guy's going to say healing's God's will, sickness is God's will. The other one's going to say healing's God's will. The other one's going to say this or that. Get in the toolbox and find out what God says, because you'll find out it's God's will for you to be whole. You'll find out it's God's will for you to be successful. You'll find out it's God's will for your kids to grow up and have a good life. You'll find out that it's God's will for you not to be bound by addiction. You will find out those things in the toolbox. Hallelujah. So many people say, I don't understand why it didn't work, Pastor G. I don't understand why God didn't hear me. And you know what? You're holding a tennis racket when you should be holding a bat. You guys all understand that one, right? Don't be confused. Go to the rule book. Go to the toolbox. Go to the Bible and see how to pray. See how each tool works. There are several kinds of prayers, and I'm just going to name these, and the worship team can get ready, and we're going to keep continuing. Like I said, next Sunday night, it's July 4th weekend. We're going to give you that weekend off. We like it when families spend time together during those times, and we're good for the next month and a half. We'll be talking about prayer. But there is several kinds of prayer the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the prayer of faith. In Mark, and the prayer petition, the prayer to change things. And that's in Mark 11, 24 and Matthew 21. This prayer is always to be based on God's revealed will in his word. It never contains an if. God, if you just do this. You have a right. God has given us a right. God gave it to us. People say, we don't have any rights. Why do we talk about our rights, you know? God gave us a right to answered prayer. We have a covenant with God. Amen? Matthew, so there's the prayer of faith, the prayer of petition, there's the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration and dedication of our lives for God to use us. This is the prayer we pray, if it be thy will. When we were coming back into New England, we must ask God 100 times. You know, a lot of times you say, is it your will, Lord, when you don't want it to be his will? You know, but you got to go with the unction. You got to go with the anointing. See, when you're in prayer, there'll be an unction. There'll be an anointing, and you'll know that that's God. You'll know that it's God. I can't tell you so many times when the Holy Spirit has come on Pastor Ed, when we were down at Rodney Howard Brown, and God spoke to us to sow an unusual seed. We were praying about what to sow, and we were going to give something, and even if we didn't hear, and he just blurted out of his mouth, and he started crying. And I almost wanted to cry, but my crying was in the natural. Are you serious? But I knew it was the Holy Spirit. Oh, there was something else that happened just recently. Oh, yeah. We'll tell you about that later. But that was really good. It seems like whenever God speaks to him, or you know, there's just, or he, and when he speaks to you, there'll be an anointing that come if you're praying over that. Amen? This is the prayer of commitment, casting your cares upon the Lord. We cast our cares upon the Lord, and what do? We walk away worrying about it. But faith leaves it in the hands of God. And when God sees you operate like that, man, you can bet your prayer is about ready to be answered. Amen? There's the prayer of worship. There's the prayer of agreement that is so powerful in Matthew 18 and 19. There's the prayer in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." He says, "I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray with my understanding." There's united prayer and corporate prayer and the prayer of supplication, and there's intercessory prayer. And those basically are the major prayers. Intercessory prayer is when you stand in the gap and you're taking people up the ladder to heaven and you're praying for people to be set free. And I'm telling you, when you're praying those type of things, it is God's will. It's God's will for people to be set free. Amen? Don't go around figuring out, well, God, you know what's going on here. I didn't figure the way. We try to figure out everything in our mind. If you don't know and you don't see the answer, stay on the Word of God and just pray in the Holy Ghost. But stay with receiving the answer. Amen? Hallelujah. I had a lot more, but we'll continue this. I hope this is helping you a lot. I hope you realize why you need to pray. Amen? You have dominion. You have dominion over the enemy. You have the dominion that God gave to Adam because Jesus restored us. Amen? He took away the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And when we receive him, we have authority over him. He's the God of this world, but not our God. Amen?